You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site, we have you all ready for Week 7. Your picks straight up, picks against the spread, your decider column, my start-sit advice for the entire week, and as well as looking at some specific sleepers and busts. All that is there, and a lot more, including positional rankings for you at SportingNews.com, as well as injury updates. Here on Locked On Fantasy Football, we close the week always with a lineup Friday. That means we'll take a look at the DFS value specific there on the main slate on the 1 p.m. for DraftKings and FanDuel, kind of a look at the players to target at different tier levels across positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and defense. So we'll do that. We also have to break down Thursday Night Football. We had a game again after having a week off last week. It's back, TNF, and we'll do that. Eagles-Giants, and also give you the injury updates, again, you need to know going into the Sunday and Monday games. Before we do that, I got to tell you, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passion fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest fantasy football and reality football watching content from Pepsi. All right, let's dive in here to our TNF takeaways here. The Eagles rally with 12 points in the fourth quarter, 12-7, they outscore the Giants to win 22-21 in that final 15 minutes. Let's start with the Giants here. Daniel Jones actually started becoming fantasy relevant again. Only 187 yards passing. He did lose a fumble at the end of the game through an interception, but 92 yards rushing. He should have had a touchdown. He had the 80-yard run. Unfortunately, stumbled near the goal line. That ball was punched in by Wayne Gallman a few plays later. But Jones, again, the leading rusher for the Giants. He's a little Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson light with the way he's running. A lot of speed there, really fast. But, again, he stumbled. If he had scored, it would have been a huge night for him with the three combined TDs. But instead, you get the 9.2 from his four carries. You get the two scores, 187. The big difference here was the return of Sterling Shepard. He opened up the rest of the offense, that's for sure. So he was activated from his toe injury right before the game. They didn't waste time putting him to work. Eight targets, catches six for 59 and a score here. And that's what Sterling Shepard does. He's a possession receiver. He gets open. He's a good route runner. So that really hurt the value of Darius Slayton, who saw a lot of Darius Slay in this game. Only four targets. There's a play that he could have broken downfield if Jones had kind of thrown it up for him a little bit more. It would have been a long touchdown, but unfortunately it wasn't. So it's only 2 for 23 and a dud here on four targets. Golden Tate only had one catch on his two targets, but made a count with a 39-yard touchdown early in the game. So Tate, not used too much, but made a play. Shepard cut into Slayton's work. And Evan Engram was a little bit more active, but still disappointing. He had six catches for 46 yards on nine targets, but he missed a big one near the end of the game. About a 15 to 20 yard catch that would have put the game away, and that would have really made his day pretty well here if he had gone a 7 for 70, something like that. So, again, Engram being a little bit more involved, Tate all of a sudden in the mix. Again, Shepard is going to hurt Slayton's value in a game like this where they're trying to protect against a big play. Shepard is more that guy that's going to get open underneath consistently and can run versatile routes here. So, again, Shepard back. He's relevant in fantasy football. That helps Jones, certainly. And the big story here is in the backfield as well is that Devonta Freeman was injured here. So only three carries for 8 yards before he exited. But Wayne Gallman looked okay at times. He wasn't spectacular, but he did get 15 touches here, 34 rushing yards, 54 yards from scrimmage, and a score. So Wayne Gallman, again, if it's a starting running back, they're going to get key touches and get work near the goal line. We have to pay attention to them in fantasy football. And Gallman at one point was the Saquon Barkley top handcuff. Then we thought it was Deion Lewis. Then they signed Devonta Freeman. Well, it's come full circle back to Gallman here as he's stuck on this roster and he's still there and relevant and making some plays for this team. So good to see the Giants offense wake up, having a little bit more relevancy across the board here. And Shepard, if he was dropped in your league or someone didn't have an IR spot, he's definitely worth a pickup after this game because he's going to get involved. He's consistently the most reliable receiver. Slayton is big play dependent. Tate is limited usage in the slot. Engram has that questionable hands here that always hold him back. Now, let's look at the Eagles side of things. We loved Carson Wentz going this game. He exceeded our expectations. We didn't expect him to throw for 359 yards and throw 43 times against the Giants defense, but that's what happened. He turned it into 359 and two, did have a pick, was sacked three times, but also had a rushing touchdown and 14 yards on the ground here. So very solid top-end QB1 game for Carson Wentz. He's back, folks. I mean, he was already borderline QB1 in deeper leagues. It's the 14th average point scorer. He was number 9 overall. Well, he's firmly in QB1 deal, so he should not be out there as a free agent anymore. Again, the Eagles still having trouble traditionally running the ball. That could change as Miles Sanders probably returning for that Cowboys game in week 8 on Sunday night. Here, I figure it's only a 1 week absence, but enjoy Boston Scott while you had the chance here. He had a solid 46 yards rushing, 46 yards receiving, scores a touchdown here on 15 touches, the game-winning touchdown, Boston Scott. Great play in the corner of the end zone on a first and long from the penalty there for a goal, and he looked very good. And we knew this. The Giants have really struggled in coverage against running backs. They've been decent against the run, but they've given up a lot in the passing game. That's what we saw with Boston Scott, and they really succumbed to him at a very critical time. Now, we said Richard Rodgers had a lot of good value here, filling in for Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, who's still a week away. They did try to throw to Hakeem Butler in the end zone. That did not work. But Rodgers, 6 for 85 to lead the team on 8 targets. Travis Fulgham, tough matchup with James Bradbury. Had 11 targets, however. And we knew he was going to get a ton of targets in this game if this game script allowed. So he made up for it there with 5 for 73. Not a great night, but James Bradbury, very tough in coverage. Here, you had John Hightower make another big play, the rookie from Boise State. 1 catch for 59 yards, but nothing to see there. Greg Ward had the other touchdown here, 5 for 42 on 6 targets. So this passing game all of a sudden is pretty deep here without Ertz and Goddard. Goddard is going to return. Rodgers is probably still going to be involved here. We'll see about Alshon Jeffrey returning. Well, the other story was DeSean Jackson. He returned. He was involved early in this game, ended up with 4 touches for 46. But on a punt return late in the game, he suffered a scary leg injury. So Jackson's probably back on the shelf, just came back from the hamstring. So they're going to have to rely more on Fulgham. We'll see where Alshon Jeffrey's at with his return here with this extra time. Goddard certainly is going to be back, so he'll probably be the guy that we want most out of this passing game, Fulgham being next. And we have to just see how it trickles down from there. Jeffrey could throw a wrench in it for sure. But Jackson is definitely out, so they'll be anticipating when Jalen Reagor comes back to replace Jackson as that big play threat. So still a lot to figure out with this Eagles passing game, but the bottom line is Carson Wentz is getting it done with whoever's out there. Scott may be a 1 week wonder, but who knows if he's earned a little bit more in the passing game with his strong game here. I think they've underused him in general as a standalone value there with Sanders, so maybe he earned a little bit more in that sense, but we'll watch Sanders and see if he can go against the Cowboys in week 8. But Carson Wentz, again, great matchup here. Took advantage of it, fought through 2 tough matchups with Steelers and Ravens. Guess who he gets next week? Again, we mentioned the Cowboys. Wentz is going to be a solid QB1 again in week number 8. All right, so there you have the takeaways from your Thursday night football game. Pretty good for fantasy, a little bit better than we expected, maybe from different sources, but that was good to see. Before we dive into our DraftKings and FanDuel values here on DFS for week number 7, I got to tell you about Built Go. Built Go is the solution to breaking through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through it with Go every day. Built Go is easy to take and easy 1.5-ounce packages. Put in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back 9, or just put in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 500 energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And Built Go comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. How does Built Go work so well? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, a fast-absorbing substance that gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on my stomach. Built Go's loaded with good stuff to ignite my work as well: beta-alanine, B3 honey, and a kick of caffeine. Then Built Go kicks in to keep me going strong: B6, B12, 10,000% of your daily intake there. With collagen, you're promoting joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Well, you can get it on Built Go right now. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Built Go, let's go. We'll be right back here to break down a DFS here across the board for week number 7. All right, let's now go from a TNF to DFS. And all right, let's look at the main slate again. We're working with a 1 p.m. window here. Now, there's going to be a change because we know that this Seahawks and Cardinals game has been moved to 8:20. So they're now in the night spot here for showdown purposes, as there's concern over the Bucs and Raiders game with the positive COVID test of offensive lineman Trent Brown. They were checking the other offensive lineman across the board, as well as Jonathan Abram, the safety. So we don't know if this game's going to go off. So let's hope so. Hope everything is good to go with the Bucs and Raiders. It does help that the Raiders are at home so they can make some adjustments. But be prepared if you're going to be without your Tampa and Vegas players this week. All right, now let's look at quarterback, where we're looking at the main slate again. We lose Wilson, so that kind of hurts, and Murray as well. So I don't know if we would have paid up to get them anyway. So let's look elsewhere for a value. It's easy. We want to target this Packers-Texans game, that's for sure. You have Aaron Rodgers, 7,000 on DraftKings, Deshaun Watson at 6,800. On the other side, same kind of pricing, 8,100 and 8,000. So with Rodgers and Watson close, I would go Rodgers on FanDuel for $100 more, while you save the $200 there with Watson. So it's a little slight difference, but I think that's where you go here in this game. So I personally think everyone's going to be on Rodgers, so I might want to pivot to Watson a little bit more just because he's at home. He's been lighting it up. Everyone thinks Rodgers is going to be rebound game. Everyone's going to be thinking that, so maybe pivot there. Now Tom Brady returns into the main slate at 405, assuming they play that game. He has some intrigue for sure here playing there. I mean, they have to still adjust things there with his value. So he's not a bad guy to look at 6,600 on DraftKings. But another game you can definitely target is this Falcons-Lions affair. Matt Ryan, 6,700 on DraftKings. His buddy, good friends, all the Georgia connections there, 6,500, Matthew Stafford. Now, when you look at them on FanDuel and compare their prices, Matthew Stafford is at 7,300. Matt Ryan is at 7,800. So $500 significant savings there. Well, we have 200 savings there on DraftKings. So I really like Matthew Stafford this week. I just think he's going to rebound. People are going to be necessarily on him as much. He disappointed really a lot last week against the Jaguars, but that was basically the product of three rushing touchdowns. That doesn't always really happen to the Lions. I like the matchups here against the Jaguars secondary for Kenny Galladay and TJ Hawkinson. Those two guys alone can have Matthew Stafford have a big day. Maybe DeAndre Swift out of the backfield. Should be a lot of throwing on the other side of Matt Ryan. And basically Kirk Cousins came through in a similar spot opposite Ryan last week. So Matthew Stafford certainly has a lot of appeal. Now, I do also like Justin Herbert this week. He's 7,500 there on FanDuel, 6,400 DraftKings. So Stafford and Herbert around the same price here that we look at on these two sites. And again, Herbert is actually more than Stafford here on FanDuel at 7,500 versus 7,300. And the other site with DraftKings, he's cheaper, 64 versus 6,500. So good guys to target there. Again, I always like to go for the cheaper. If we think there's going to be a shootout, go in that direction for the team that we think is going to lose and trail a little bit more for those garbage points. And in the Herbert's case, they're going to win, but the Jaguars' defense is so bad that you can look there. Just be aware that it could be a big rushing game for the Chargers. I mean, Justin Jackson's a little banged up, but Herbert still has great matchups across the board for Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, and Mike Williams this week. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're going. If we were going to go super bargain, it's really hard, but I would look at Kyle Allen. He's at 5,200. He's at home against the Cowboys, 280-2 last week. Against the Giants, he didn't have those multiple turnovers, but that's a pretty good value. I mean, you can't get much better than that. 5,200 there on DraftKings for Kyle Allen, 67. So good value, really, when you look at it. He's down there. Actually, Jimmy Garoppolo is lower than Kyle Allen, but I don't like that matchup for Garoppolo in New England. All right, let's go to our running backs here and where we want to target in week number 6. I think Aaron Jones is an obvious place to start that same game. We know everyone's going to be on Aaron Jones after Derrick Henry demolished that Texans run defense. So at the high end, I do want some shares of Jones this week. 7,200 and 8,500 are his prices here with the rest of the field. That's where I want to start because I don't really like Derrick Henry's matchup. I don't necessarily trust Ezekiel Elliott. Alvin Kamara has a pretty good spot here, but I think it could be a game where they split and dominate in the running game. So something to watch there for sure. You could also look at Kareem Hunt behind Aaron Jones at 6,800 on DraftKings. And he's only 7,100 on FanDuel. So in relation to the rest of the field, Hunt is a very good value as well because he should have a big rebound spot against the Bengals where he had a big game working with Nick Chubb and now they have the backfield all to himself. Now, where else could we go this week? I think you look at Todd Gurley as well. If the game script is going to play out, and we want to say implied that the Falcons will be playing with the lead, you have Todd Gurley at 6,000. Really good deal. He's even behind Austin Eckler, who's on IR, and in between Eckler and Nick Chubb on DraftKings. So pretty good value there. And on FanDuel, 6,600, right ahead of Raheem Mostert and Eckler, who are not playing. So interesting pricing there, but Gurley with the touchdowns. He might be a little bit motivated with DeAndre Swift on the other side. A little Georgia-Georgia battle in Atlanta here in the running game. So, again, interesting value certainly for Todd Gurley this week and looking at maybe the way this game will go. If you now that Ronald Jones is back in the game screen, you can look at it in this main slate, 6,200 here as well. I don't think Leonard Fournette's going to be a big threat to him. Now, if we're going to look at bargain at running back, I might look at Joshua Kelly this week, folks. Justin Jackson, again, a little banged up with a knee injury. Joshua Kelly at 5,100 there on DraftKings. Latavius Murray as well. So those complementary backs and good matchups where the team should be have positive game script and be ahead and run the ball like nuts. The Chargers are going to commit to that, help Herbert. Saints, we know, definitely will commit to that to help Drew Brees this week. So I like Kelly and the Murray. I have them in the different leagues here in seasonal, and I like playing them this week. So Kelly's at 6,200 on FanDuel. I mean, Latavius Murray is a nice bargain period at 5,300 there on FanDuel. So, again, you can maybe pair Aaron Jones with one of these guys, and you'll really get ahead this week. Now let's turn our attention to wide receiver and where we're targeting here on DraftKings and FanDuel. Okay, at the top, there's many places you can go. You can certainly look at Calvin Ridley at 7,300, Julio Jones at 7,100 from that Falcons-Lions game. Julio, you could chase the game from last week, but usually when he's hot, he usually strings together some big, big games. So, and the Lions certainly cannot cover him. So, and Ridley Jones, 8,400, 8,300. Interesting there that they're so close and Ridley is actually higher than Jones. It's an interesting matchup, that's for sure. Now, Kenny Golladay, we mentioned him at 6,700. Coming off a big game, he should actually get in the end zone this one. So 6,700 on DraftKings, 7,600 on FanDuel. Very good target. Stephon Diggs, a no-brainer there against the Jets, 7,500 on FanDuel and 7,000 on DraftKings. So good values there in that middle there. If you don't want to pay up for Ridley or Jones, you can definitely look at Diggs and Golladay this week with some really good matchups. Now, A.J. Brown, we're going to watch him. I don't like that matchup with the Steelers. He's also banged up with a knee injury, so be prepared to go away from him. If you're feeling a little risky and a little bit contrarian, people are off him. There's bad vibes around him. That's Odell Beckham Jr. I'll tell you why there's some promise for Odell. First of all, we know from week 2 that he did score and have a nice game against the Bengals. The concern is, of course, Baker Mayfield, but the corner for the Bengals, their best corner really, is William Jackson. And it looks like he's going to miss the game with a concussion here. And they got to get Beckham going. They figured to be ahead. They figured to have some success throwing the ball downfield. Beckham plays off the play action and gets it And that's key for Baker Mayfield. I think that's what people miss, is if you cannot run the ball for some of these quarterbacks, they're not going to open things up in the passing game. Baker is run dependent, so you can open up the downfield throwing. So very version of Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, the difference is he's playing at an extremely high level executing while Mayfield is missing a lot of throws. But that said, I do like Beckham more in a tournament setting because he's so volatile. At 6,100 on DraftKings and 6,700 on FanDuel. So, again, people are going to be off him probably, and that is going to help you, that's for sure. Now, where else would we go? A good value in that same game is Tyler Boyd at 6,000 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's at 5,400. He destroyed them in the slot there in week two. The Bengals cannot cover the slot. They can't cover maybe the outside with Jackson, so... I'm sorry, the Browns can't do that. So when you look at it, anyway, so it could be Boyd in the slot and Beckham on the outside in that same game going off here. So back and forth should be good with Joe Burrow. And Boyd, I know, has been quiet for a couple weeks, but I think he goes off here. Now, Brandon Cooks is another player that's intriguing to me at that same price range. If you look at him, he's right behind at 5,200 on DraftKings, $200 cheaper than Boyd. And $100 cheaper than Boyd at 5,900 on FanDuel. Brandon Cooks is really on fire. They're using him well. And Jair Alexander, that's going to be a tough matchup for Will Fuller. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, reader of defenses, want to go in a different direction, you can go there. Another guy that I'm watching, I think he's been kind of the forgotten man, partly because he's been injured. We know that. He's out of the mix. People are saying, when is Juju going to get going? You have Chase Claypool going nuts. Deontay Johnson, folks, look for him. I think he can make some plays against this Titans secondary. They're going to have some attention on Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster. You know that. So things are definitely going to open for Deontay Johnson here as he returns. They want to get involved. He's a talented guy. I think there's just a conception that he's just a normal, just kind of slow dude. But look at him. He's a very good route runner. He's a starting outside guy. They had high hopes for him. So when you look at him, he's 4,200 there only on DraftKings. So great value, 5,800. There again, Mike Williams also could have a big game here. Someone to target if you're looking for some bargain as well. 4,700 on DraftKings and 5,900. So some very good values there. Looking for some big plays. If you're going for the big plays, guys like those guys and Michael Gallup there, he would also fall under that. 4,600 on DraftKings and 5,600 on FanDuel. Those are the type of guys that want to play the tournaments. The more consistent guys with the volume and efficiency are the guys I want to play in cash games. Makes a lot of sense there if you're looking for high floor versus high ceiling. All right, let's turn our attention to tight end here. Now, we know there's two ways you go with tight end. Typically in a DFS, you either pay up, get a stud, hope for the best, or you go down. I mean, you could look at Travis Kelce for sure. The matchup is fantastic against the Broncos. They've really struggled to cover the tight end. 7,900, however, you're going to pay up to get him. He's actually cheaper than George Kittle on DraftKings at 6,300. So certainly DraftKings, Travis Kelce has a lot of appeal at that price behind Kittle, where Kittle has a tough matchup to me as the 49ers. Probably could see the Patriots game plan to stop him. TJ Hockenson I also like at 5,000. The Falcons are terrible against the tight end. They got roasted by Irv Smith and Kyle Rudolph last week. So look at Hockenson. He's only 5,900 on FanDuel. He's actually priced up a little bit on DraftKings at 5,000, but still a bargain when you look at it, where you have Darren Waller at 6,100 and you save 1,100 by dropping to Hockenson. Well, you look at Hockenson way down there when you look at the price versus Kelce. So you can definitely look at him. I like the matchup. It's really good. Another one I mentioned was Hunter Henry. If you want to go a stack, if you don't want to go with Williams or you don't want to pay up for Kyle Allen, you can look at Hunter Henry at 4,500 on DraftKings. He did score last week. I think they're warming up. That chemistry is going to be there with the rookie quarterback. He's at 5,800. So Hockenson, Henry, a way to look at here in a tough tight end landscape this week, especially with Robert Tonyan a little bit banged up. Noah Fant coming back just from injury just now. And other question marks across the board. You could also look at Dalton Schultz at 3,900 if you're going really cheap here. He did have some connection with Andy Dalton. The Washington football team, not very good against the tight end. He's only 5,200 there on FanDuel and 39 DraftKings. So that's your bargain punt play, so to speak, at that position. Finally, let's go to defense and special teams and where we want to target some guys that can help us as a unit. Let's see. If we want to go as low as we can, I think you probably can stop at the Browns at 2,800 on DraftKings. I think they will be a little bit more expensive for you in FanDuel. They typically are the better pricing, and they are at 4,700. So when you look at that for when we're looking at defenses, again, they can get some sacks. It wasn't pretty the first time, but they should make amends. And this Bengals team certainly is going to give them some sacks and ability there. It's interesting that the Cowboys are actually more there on DraftKings in a good matchup with Washington. They're not a great defense, we know that, but again, the Cowboys, you can get them for really nothing on FanDuel at 3,700 there as a basic option that you can play this week. Another team I do like is the New Orleans Saints. They are pretty value-friendly there overall in the middle of the pack, 3,200 on DraftKings and 4,000 on FanDuel. So their team, I think they're going to play well this week. So, and those are the three defenses I'm targeting, the Browns, Saints, and Cowboys at different price points where you can get away and get a decent game from those teams. Remember, the Cowboys still have a pretty good pass rush, so if they're able to get ahead on Washington, they can tee off on Kyle Allen a little bit. That'll be good for their value. All right, so there you have a look at the DraftKings values and FanDuel values across the board here for week number 7 on the main slate, every position. We still have to get to our injury updates for every position here going into the weekend games. We'll do that in a moment, but make sure you're checking out all the great shows here on the Locked On NFL Network, including our flagship show here, Locked On NFL. We have a revolving crew that takes you through all the games with Ross Jackson and Cody Rourke shepherding that ship, so it's a lot of fun. We cover all different angles of the NFL from a national perspective for you. And don't forget about Peacock and Williamson, featuring former NFL and college scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock here, two of the great sister shows here to Locked On Fantasy Football. And, of course, we got you covered. Whatever your local team is in the NFL, just check us out here on the Locked On Network, and we will take care of you with the insight and information you need week in and week out. We'll be right back here to close the show with the injury reports you need to know going into Week 7, Sunday and Monday. All right, let's close here looking at those injury reports. Baker Mayfield, he was bothered a little bit by the chest last week, but he'll be playing against the Bengals. You're not starting him. Josh Allen, the left shoulder, may have been an issue the last 2 weeks, but he's going to play and gets a great matchup against the Jets. We'll see about Sam Darnold, that right shoulder, if he can return on the other side of the game. You're not going to trust him there. Ben Roethlisberger gets his usual rest in the middle of the week. He's good to go here for the Titans. A good matchup there on the road. Mike Davis dealing with an ankle issue, but he's going to play against Saints here running for the Panthers. Joe Mixon, we're going to watch this one carefully. It could be Giovanni Bernard time against the Browns. He's had a foot injury. He was able to finish a little bit last week, but we'll have to see. They could just be resting him. It's something to watch here on Friday on his decision. We could Kareem Hunt battling a ribs injury, but he's fine. Good to go for the Bengals game for the Browns. Justin Jackson, we mentioned that knee injury. That could open the door for Joshua Kelly to get a little bit more. He's been limited in practice early in the week. Daryl Henderson is watching, worth watching here as he has a thigh injury. We'll see if it's just rest here. They are playing on Monday night, so maybe with the Rams and Sean McVay, they tend to be careful with their players sometimes in practice in the middle of the week. So I wouldn't be alarmed yet with Henderson. It's a thigh issue. It's not a major issue, but still want to make sure that he's practicing and good to go. James White has missed time with a non-injury issue here for the Patriots. So we'll see if he goes against the 49ers. Raheem Mostert, we know, is not going to play with that ankle injury. Jeff Wilson, to me, is also very iffy with a calf injury. So I think it's going to be a Jerick McKinnon, Jamichael Hasty committee here against the 49ers, and or for the 49ers against the Patriots in a rather tough matchup. Leonard Fournette, probably going to be off the injury report and play here with his ankle, but his limited usage behind Ronald Jones is pretty well documented now. I wouldn't be alarmed about DeAndre Hopkins here either with the ankle injury that he has. He can be fine and good to go without practice time. And with veterans, it's a little bit different, especially ones that are elite and know the offense. So I totally expect him to play against the Seahawks on Sunday night. Julio Jones is definitely going to play with that hamstring here. He's just being managed early in the week. Calvin Ridley has an elbow. He's good to go. And Russell Gage also going to play. So a chance for all three to go off again against the Lions. Now, John Brown, I would make plans not to have him. He has a knee injury, a knee issue, so probably not going to play against the Jets with two missed practices here. Curtis Samuel, you're not going to use him, but he'll play against the Saints to help that passing game. Auden Tate is going to play for the Bengals. You have Jarvis Landry, he's going to play through it, but not relevant as well on the other side for the Browns this week. KJ Hamler has a chance to return to help the Broncos. Don't love the matchup against the Chiefs anyway. You're not going there. Marvin Jones. Some people think this could be a Marvin Jones week opposite Julio Jones in that good matchup against the Falcons secondary, but he's done nothing to say that. Now he has a knee injury issue. So does Danny Amendola. So that's where I really like Galladay and Hawkinson to be big for Matthew Stafford this week. DJ Chark has an ankle. I don't love the matchup this week against the Chargers, but I think he's in there, but more downgrade to wide receiver 3. Laviska Shenault has been playing for hamstring. I just don't like the Jaguars receivers against that secondary, especially the way Gardner Minshew is playing against zone defenses, which the Chargers play with Gus Bradley. Sammy Watkins is going to not play again for the Chiefs, so I would pivot to DeMarcus Robinson. I think we were all over Mecole Hardman, but the thing about Hardman to keep in mind, he's a little bit redundant with Tyreek Hill and the same type of ability. They need a big guy that's going to get open underneath in zone. That's usually DeMarcus Robinson. Brian Edwards probably going to be out here for the Buccaneers. Can't trust Henry Ruggs III, Hunter Renfro, or Nelson Aguilar against that good Bucs secondary. Keenan Allen has been dealing with the back issue, but he's had the bye. He's off for the Jaguars. Julian Edelman, still the knee injury here. I don't think he'll miss time, but we just don't trust him at this point. He's only had one big game this season. Michael Thomas has now had a hamstring injury as well as the ankle, so dealing with multiple injuries, this is a bummer. We thought for sure after the bye we were going to get him back against the Panthers, but now it looks very iffy to do so. Rashad Perryman should have some interest in deeper leagues. He's going to play again here for the Jets. The Dolphins, or the Bills, secondary is a little bit iffy. Tre'Davious White's banged up. White definitely could shut down Perryman, so we'll watch that. But he did get involved against the Dolphins last week. Jamison Crowder's someone that could miss the game. He has a growing injury. So Braxton Berrios, who has a quad injury, might be activated again to have a big garbage role there against the Bills. Juju Smith-Schuster has been playing through a knee injury all season. He's going to continue there. Deontay Johnson, as we mentioned, I think he's going to do something this week, as well as Juju. They got to restore these guys a little bit here in the offense. And again, Johnson, Smith-Schuster can really eat up that secondary this week. Mike Evans has an ankle issue. Chris Godwin's hamstring. Scotty Miller has a hip growing. They all play here, but let's watch. Let's hope that this Raiders-Bucks game is not postponed here in, from this week, and they can all play. Hopefully, the Raiders don't ruin it for us. A.J. Brown went back on the injury report without practicing there, so we're going to watch that with a knee injury. They could be managing him for the Steelers here, so watch that for sure, and we'll get a better indication of that later on Friday. All right, now we turn to tight end here. Dawson Knox out again for the Bills. Jimmy Graham is fined for the Bears against the Rams. David Njoku, you're not playing him, but he is available for this Bengals game. Noah Fant, good sign to see him back in full practice. He's good to go against the Chiefs. If you need him, you can definitely use him this week. He's more of a back-end tight end one for me. Robert Tonyan is one we're watching with an ankle injury. Certainly could miss the game. He's missed two practices here for the Texans, so we'll watch that. On the other side of things, Jordan Akins has missed two practices, so it could be more of Darren Fells alone against the Packers. Packers have been pretty good against the tight end, but Fells is being used consistently in a key red zone role, playing off Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks. Tyler Eifert, the neck injury is a little tricky, so you're not counting on him anyway. The other Tyler for the Rams, Tyler Higbee, missed the first practice of the week with a hand injury. I think he'll be okay, but again, splitting time with Gerald Everett, tough Bears pass defense, not maybe trusting that portion of the Rams offense this week. Will Disley available with Greg Olsen, so nothing to see there with the Seahawks tight ends. Rob Gronkowski really came to life, but the Raiders are good against the tight end. So if they play that game with Nick Kwiatkowski, they're in coverage, and Jonathan Abram, assuming he's cleared to go, I don't really like Gronkowski to keep it going against the Raiders. Jonas Smith, there was some concern, and people were all over Anthony Firkser after the big game against the Texans. Steelers are a little bit vulnerable against the tight end, so you can use Jonas Smith, and Firkser now has no value if Smith is going to play. You have Logan Thomas dealing with a neck issue, but he's going to play. He has pretty good chemistry with Kyle Allen. The Cowboys are terrible against a tight end. A pretty good streamer at that position for you this week. So there you have it. There's a look at all the injury updates you need to know for week number 7 going into the weekend. You got your TNF analysis with the Giants-Eagles. You got a little bit of DraftKings and FanDuel advice here for your main slate lineup building. That's what we do here on Lineup Friday to close the week of Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks so much for listening today and the entire week. We'll see you again next week with a Roundup Monday, breaking down all of Sunday's action for you. Going into Week 7, good luck in all your matchups this week, whether it's seasonal or DFS. This has been Vinny Iyer for Locked On Fantasy Football. Now turn your smart speaker to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL. Again, have a great weekend. Crush it in fantasy.